Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Shmiras HaLashon class learning. We will begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Ribono Shel Olam, Hi Ratzon Lefanecha, Rachem Lechanan, Shetezakeinu Hayim Ulechal Yom Lishmar Pi Lashonim Milashon Hara Rechilus, Ezar Miladaber Fila Al Yishyachi V'Kol Shekein Al Kol Yisro, O Achelik Mehem V'Kol Shekein Lisraim Al Midos Av Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ezar Miladaber Divrei Sheker, Chanufa Mechokes Ka'as Gaiva, Onas Tvarim Habanas Panim Leitzonis V'Kol Dibur Azor, Ezakeinu Shel Ledaber Kim Dabar Tzarich Le'inyani Gufi V'Nafshi V'Yu Kol Ma'asai V'Dibur Rai L'Shem Shamayim Amen. We are learning Lilui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas Svi Gershom Ben Yoav Achan Alav Hashem, his Neshama Shehevan Aliyah, on the merit of our learning, and also as a continuous Refuah Mesiras Tovas for Bracha V'Gaya V'Asra Achal Geta V'Soch She'Archal Yisrael. So let us open up, please. Okay. Someone did a piece by the Sefer HaChinuch, if you recall, on Onas Tvarim, verbal oppression. I have that we're on the top, page 98. Is that what you have also? Mm-hmm. Okay. What I'd like to do is just go back to the last paragraph on page 96, just because last time we did a lengthy piece by the Chinuch, just to recap really where we are, okay? So we're going to the bottom of page, what is this? 96, okay? And the truth is that our Kedusha and our learning is like a small one compared to a giant, our learning compared to the learning of the giants who came before us, the Torah Gedolim who came before us. And if we will impure, cause our lips to be impure with Lashon Hara Rechilus, Kedoma, and other forms of forbidden speech, so how can we wonder what holiness, what sanctity will reside in our learning if we make our lips impure? But Alkein Magadola Maas HaMakaba, how great is the Maila, the attribute of one who accepts Al Atzma upon himself Chovas HaShmira, to at least try the Chova, the obligation to Shmira, to guard yourself. Kikol Mashati Tosef Shmira Etzlo Al Diburo Miladabra Diburim Asur, and because it will be added to him the Shmira upon him for his speech, for not speaking forbidden things. Ti Tosef Lo Mimela Kedusha Shalt Al Torah. If you take it upon yourself to guard your tongue from negative speech, from deceitful speech, from all the dibrasim that we just mentioned, then it will be added upon you kedusha on the Torah, ushar dvarei kedusha, and more kedusha onto the words that you speak, shu medaber, that you speak. So of course, we cannot mention that. Does everyone understand that paragraph? Yes, that if we are, I said yes, I don't know, I hope so, that we are our learning compared to the Torah giants who came before us, okay, the Tanaim, the Amoraim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, the Gedolei Yisrael, what are we compared to them? We're nothing. We're like an ant. We just read in the last expression, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. We're like nothing in their eyes. We're like an ant. And yet we have a Chova Shmira. So what do we have to do? Take it upon ourselves so that Kedusha will be added to our Divrei Torah and our Divrei Tefillah and our Divrei Kedusha. And we cannot mention that last week's parasha, of course, was the parasha of Parasha Shlach, the parasha of the Meraglim. And because they failed to see the good in Eretz Yisrael, which is the root of their sin, they ended up speaking bad. And it's a very important principle. And we've spoken about it so many times, Kapitel Amidah. We've spoken about it so many times. Mi Ha'ish, can reiterate it strongly enough to myself and to all of us, Miha Isha Chafetz Chaim Ohev Yamim ? Lira Os Tov. The ability to see good leads to Netzral Shan Chameirus V'Sacham Medaber Mirma. If you want to be a person who speaks positive, you must see the positive. Really, what was the failing between 10 of the Meraglim and 2 of the Meraglim? They saw the exact same thing. Isn't that fascinating to consider? You could put two people in the exact same situation. They saw the exact same thing for 40 days. They walked the length and the breadth of Eretz Yisrael. Saw the exact same thing. They saw people burying their dead. They saw huge fruits. They both saw Amalek. Everyone saw the same thing. So what's the difference?
Perception.
My husband told me many years ago, perception is reality. Perception is guided by how we see things. And if we see the good, there os tov, then it's all shon chamira. Then and if you can't see the good Rahman al Sun, then you will end up speaking bad. And it's very important to consider that just because something is true doesn't need to be said. They both saw, both groups, 10 and 2, saw the same thing. Just because something is true, does it really need to be said? And the answer more often than not is
no.
Okay. So Rav Elimelech Biderman says some beautiful insights here. And he brings something very profound. The Medrash teaches, this is Rav Eli Melech Biderman in last week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, a person shouldn't say, you know, sometimes you, especially if the more you learn, the more you realize how little you know. The more you learn, you realize, the more you realize, oh my gosh, there's so much to know. It's like a bottomless pit in a positive way. I'm never going to finish anything in my whole life. A person should not say, how can I learn the entire Torah, keep all the mitzvahs, the Torah is so vast. The Medrash Yalkut Shemoni Dvarim says, don't say that. We can compare this to a king who had a bottomless pit. Bar amok le'ein sof. That's the Lashon of the Medrash. Bar amok, a deep pit le'ein sof. He told some workers, fill the pit with earth. To fill the pit with earth. When the workers came to the site, they realized this is an impossible mission. The foolish worker said, how can we ever fill the pit? It's not possible. It's bar and bulk, ain't so, there's no end. The wise worker said, why should I get care? Why should I care how deep the pit is? I get paid for today. Today I have to do my work. Today I'm happy I have a job. It's a geshmak mashal. Similarly, when one sees the length and breadth of Torah, he despairs of ever knowing the Torah or ever keeping it properly, of ever knowing all the lachas, of ever knowing every varlach, of ever understanding anything. You could say this is bar amok she'ein sof. There's no end here. So Kosh Baruch Hu says, don't care. You're a sachir yom. You're a hired worker for today. Every day that you work, you will be paid. What's our payment? Just like the guy filling the pit is paid. There's a halacha. You have to pay the worker on the day that he works for you. So too Hashem says, I'm paying you for today. Don't worry about filling the pit. Do your work today. And this reminds me of what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Lo alecha hamlacha ligmar. On the one hand, you're never going to finish the job. The pit is bottomless. You're not going to finish the job. On the other hand, you're not free. You still can't be batel from your job. You're still obligated. How could I be obligated if I could never fill the pit? So God says, I hired you for today. Work for today. What does this have to do? What's my connection? Besides, that's a beautiful part. Why am I bringing this to you? Because I think it's very relevant to our learning. When I read this, of Lashon Hara. Because if you look at your whole life, that you have to guard your tongue. You're going to see when we get to the next chapter. I don't know if we're going to get today, but I'm going to try and prepare it into the next chapter. That there are 16 milos, there are 16 attributes that come out of Chovas HaShmira. And the Chavetz Chaim is going to say in the beginning of the next chapter that it is impossible, even if one is a tzaddik, even if one is a Talmid Chacham, if one does not accept Shmira upon himself in regard to Shmira Salashim, it's impossible to go a week without sinning. It's impossible to go a week without sinning, never mind a day without sinning. So what does this Mashal, Bar Amok, She'ein Sof have to do with Shmira Salashim? It's true, it's a huge task. It's a daunting task. I'm going to fail. I can never fill the pit. I could never totally stop on my mouth. So Hashem says, I hired you for today. You have to live in the moment. This conversation, I have to fill the pit for this conversation. I have to close up the hole for this conversation. Well, that's going to be tomorrow. Is the pit ever going to be filled? I have to concentrate on today first. And if I concentrate on today first, then hopefully, Be'ezras Hashem, I can be successful. There's a beautiful bar. Rabbi Yehuda brings down a beautiful bar. That the whole sefer is called Bamidbar. Right, we can put that into change in the kudas. Bamidaber, Bamidbar is desert. Bamidaber is through the one who speaks. So Rabbi Yehuda says Bamidbar hints to dibur, speech. Yitamu from tam hints to perfection. Using these translations, the Tzamach Tzadek explains the pasuk Bamidbar hazeh yitamu v'sham yamusa. The pasuk says, I'm still in Shlach in last week's parsha about the punishment that would come upon this generation. Right? It's Perik Yud Dalet Pasuk Lamed Hey. Ani Hashem Dibarti. I am Hashem who has spoken. Im Lo Zos Asa Lechol Ha'Eda Arazos. If I will not do this, which means I will do this, this entire wicked assembly, Hanodim Alai, who gather against me, Bamidbar Hazeh, in this desert, Yitamu, they will cease to be, finish, Visham Yamusu, and they will die. You got the words? Bamidbar Hazeh, in this wilderness, Yitamu, Visham Yamusu. They will finish, and they will die. But the Tzemach Tzadek says it as follows. The Babacher Rebbe, my grandfather, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe, my grandfather, Rav Meir of Shpetivka, said, the Pasuk is teaching, when a Yid is cautious, when a Jew is cautious with his speech, he will be tamim, complete and perfect. And Chas V'Shalom, when one speaks forbidden speech, it leads to Misa, death. The difference between Yitamu and Yamusu, think of those words here, Yitamu, Yamusu, are by the dots. Also, the two letters are switched. Listen, Yitamu, Yamusu, because there are the Geshim dots in the Taf and the Mem of Yitamu. Do you need to see? There are dots in the Taf and the Mem of Yitame. Well, Yamus was written without a Dagesh. This implies with one small Nukuda, one dot, one good deed can lead to the difference between death and life, just one dot. And I believe that we spoke about that with the bite of the Nachash. We said, how could one bite of one venomous snake bring down a whole elephant? It's just one bite. One dot makes the difference between Yitamu, perfection, and Yamusu, death. This is because one's good deeds are like da. Even though it seems insignificant in the moment, they accumulate and you can attain perfection through them. Or your negative deeds, you can, the other way, what can happen the other way? God forbid, Yamusu. It makes a big difference. It makes the world of a difference between one dot and the other dot. Did I want to tell you something on this page? Right. Hashem Kaviyacha hired you to work for the day. You will be rewarded for your work today. Hayam, regardless whether the job is finished or not, which is why I brought to mind Pirkei Avos, all you have to focus on is what you can do today, and you will be rewarded for that. And Rabbi Biderman says, and this relates to Shmiras HaLashon, improving one's midos and habits. And sometimes Lashon Hara is a habit. We're just in the habit of speaking negatively or speaking about other people. Occurs by accumulation of many small steps. For example, a person has an anger problem. They should overcome it once, the second time, the third time. It will become a new habit. It will become a new nature. So therefore, it's true as well of Shmiras HaLashon. The first time it might be very hard. You're with someone, and when you get together with that person, you talk about the third person, and you're so tough. One time it will be so hard. It will be very hard. The second time, a little less hard. And soon it will become habitual, or by rote, you will change the person you are to not speak instead of to speak. I was reading a Rav Belsky biography, which I'm reading now, Zecher Tzadik Kol Shivracha. So when he was in Camp Aguda, when he was much younger, in his younger years in Camp Aguda, and he noticed that there was a problem. Did you read that?
No, my son is.
Beautiful. What?
My son is.
Is reading it now.
I bought it for him because you suggested yes. it.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Baruch Hashem. So in Camp Aguda, there was a problem he noticed when the Bachim would get together and just sit down and have a shmooze. There was a problem of Lashon Hara. So what did he do? He went and he bought a big poster of the Chafetz Chaim and he hung it in the room where they would sit down to have their shmooze. And with the big poster of the Chafetz Chaim, such a beautiful way of giving Musar and such a beautiful reminder, everybody realized, you know, with the giant in Shmiras HaLashon looking down on us, Kaviyacha, Lahavdiel, the Ribbono Shel Olam looking down on us, and how can you speak Lashon Hara and help minimize the Lashon Hara? Okay, let's go on. Top of page 98. Any questions?
No, it's just that when you're talking about the perception, how they perceive things, it's the same thing what you said, I think it was the last time, with the Ayin and Oneg and Nega.
Uh-huh, very nice.
The same idea.
Right. Hey, it's like Yitamu and Yamusu.
Exactly.
Very nice. The ayin and the oneg, the ayin and the neg is where do you put your eye or how do you perceive? And Yitamu and Yamusu, how big is your dagesh? And it can make a difference between death and life. Very nice. Okay. Imagine, by way of example, there are two people, top of page 98. Okay, the two people will come before based in Shamala. So, Mevasim Shana, persons in the eternal world of truth, Laduna Maaseim, they're going to be judged for their deeds, Latov or Lamutav. How they're going to be judged, either for good or for bad, or better or worse, or Tzadik or Rasha, let's see. They both learned a certain masechta of Gemara. They come to MS and Mamashu and they take an accounting of how much time they spent in Torah. They find they had the exact same amount of Torah learning, the exact same amount of time of Torah learning. And in terms of their bekiyus and their knowledge and their acquisition of Torah, they're equal. So it seems to be that they're equal, right? They learned the same mesechtos, they learned for the same amount of time. It's hard to find this exactly, but they did. They're shaveh. La'achad kiblu b'sever panim yafos. One, they're so happy to have him up in Shamayim, they greet him with a smiling countenance. Vas hasheni, but the second guy, kiblu b'panim shalzam. They accept with anger, and they're not happy that this guy is here, and they're very disappointed in him, and it's a not smiling countenance. V'tamal hadavar, so you might wonder about this. Hello, pohu olam ha'emes. Isn't this the world of truth? Emes means truth. Uviki uti, hello shava im chaveri. Isn't my level of understanding and knowledge and bekiyus the same as my friend? Zmanli mudi, isn't the time that I spent learning vigi asi and my toil alamasachta gamkein kamohu. Do you understand? So the guy comes up there and they're very angry and he doesn't understand. Madua nishta nesi mimene. Why am I different than him? And why are you judging me differently than him? V'anulo. So on the surface, it seems that these two people Had the same life in terms of their Torah. Miyadcha haisa zostecha. So look what they say to him. It's from your hand. You did this to yourself. So it's one thing, you know, a person should never say that to another person. Al tenachmeu b'shal shemeso muta lefanav. And Al tirtzes chaver b'shas kaso. So a person has to know how to talk to another person. You should never, ever, 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 ever say to someone, this was your own fault. You did this. It's bad enough that they're in a place of pain. It's bad enough that they're suffering. It's bad enough they're embarrassed. It's not our tafkid to rub salt in the wound. We have to help them out of the matzav, not to make them feel worse than they already feel. But when you get to the Olam Emes, it's a different parasha. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's too late. Whatever we wanted to do, we had to do in this world. If you didn't accomplish in this world, you get up there, you know what they're going to say? Miyadcha haiso zostecha. I'm sorry. But you brought it upon yourself. What does the first Rashi tell us? The very first Rashi in Parshas Shlach tell us in the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel. So the very first Rashi says, what is the connection? Miriam is Parshas Baaloscha, and the Perek Yud Beis, Parshas Meragim opens up Perek Yud Gimel. So Rashi says, Lefisha Laksal Iske Diba. Why was she punished? Because over matters of speech, she spoke Lashon Hara about her brother. Jadibra ba'achiyah, she spoke about Moshe. U'rishayim halalu ra'u v'lo lachu musar. So you brought upon yourself, in essence. That's what Rashi's teaching us. They saw what happened to Miriam. She was banished from the camp. They're going to be banished from Eretz Yisrael. Do you see the similarity? Speech, negative speech leads to banishment. The Mitzvah has to sit outside the camp. Miriam had to sit outside the camp. Outside, banishment, galus. The Meragim had to remain outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yosef, Ayava Yosef, esti basam ra alavihim. What happens to Yosef? He's banished from his family. Lashon Hara leads to banishment. What happened? We were banished from Eretz Yisrael. Negative speech leads to banishment. So, ra'u v'lo lachu musar. So the spies, when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to do a din v'cheshbon, the spies could say, we saw the same thing as Kalev and Yehoshua. Why are we being punished? Because why did you speak Lashon Hara? Even if what you saw is true, even if that was really happening there, just because something is true, does it need to be said? And of course the answer is no. Miyad chayisol zostecha. Habeina urei, pay attention and look. Toras chavercha me'ira merachok. Look how glowing, look how shiny, look how bright the Torah of your friend is. That even from a distance, you could see the light of his Torah. Va'ata, but you, halo chisisa osa bituma. It's true, you learn the same masachas that he did. It's true, your bekias was the same. It's true, your zmanli mood was the exact same, and you were koveya idim, and you woke up for shir, and you went to shir late after work. It's all true, but his lights up the world, and yours is covered up with impurity. Shayatza misvasacha, that came out of your lips, and that's what are we going to say when Hashem says that to us? What are we going to say? Then we're going to have nothing to say. Here we spent our whole meivasim shana finding what to say when we shouldn't have spoken. Then we're going to get up there. We're not going to have a defense. The brothers couldn't answer Yosef. They couldn't believe it. Yosef, they couldn't believe that the person in front of them was Yosef. They couldn't say anything. And Chazal tells us, woe unto us for the day of din. They couldn't answer Yosef because they were so astonished before him. What will we answer, B'nai Hashem? So what will we say when God says, so all your Torah and all your Kedusha, I'm talking to myself, how embarrassed we will be. What are we going to say? Eino dome, because it's covered in the tuma that came out from your mouth. Ki eino dome hevel pa sheyesh bo chei. You cannot compare the utterances of the lips that are ensconced or cocooned by sin lahevel pa sheyesh bo chei to what comes out of the mouth that is pure, that does not have sin. Va'afilu im avar rak leprakim. Even if it was occasionally, even if it was only from time to time, from perek to perek, you weren't a baal lashon hara. You weren't a habitual speaker, but from time to time, taka, you were over. And much more so you, good morning, Shatimesa Osa Tamid B'Lashon Hara, that you were constantly involved in sins of Lashon Hara, Urechilus, and in sins of Rechilus, V'Sheker, and in falsehood, V'Kadoma, and furthermore, and so on and so forth. And, so we're going to not have anything to say. I want to share a very interesting aura. And I was preparing yesterday, and I was like, We were talking a little bit about the Meragim, which was last week's parasha. We're going into Korach, where Korach was speaking. You know, one of the things we daven for Divrei Shakar. What do we again, we're trying this class very much to illustrate the fact that Shmiras HaLashon is not only on Lashon Hara, which was such a narrow definition of forbidden speech. Korach spoke Divrei Shakar. Chanufa, he tried to wow the people, those 250 men, with flattery. Machlokas, he is the father of all Machlokas. Ezi Machlokas She'en L'Shem Shemayim. It's Korach. Ka'as, he was angry at Moshe. Mrs. Korach was angry at Moshe. Gaiva, Korach is the most wonderful person around. Onas dvarim misadasan avir mimeinei hanashim ha'ela tinakir lo na'ala. Halbanas panim, Mrs. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Mrs. Korach said, Moshe's just trying to embarrass you. He shaved you, you're a Levi, he's just embarrassing. Leitzanus, they came out in a cloak of tcheles and said, look, he's over on every single one. Leitzanus, does a cloak, kulot tcheles, need tzitzis? They laughed at Moshe. How could it be that if it's kulot tcheles, it's not potter from tcheles? They'll call dibur asar. So when we talk about Lashon Hara, again, we have such a narrow definition that what we try and do very much in our class is to broaden our scope and our horizon and to understand that it's not just Lashon Hara itself. And of course, the Machlokas of Korach touches upon all of these dvarim ha'asurim. Okay? Now, 1 second. Furthermore, how did Korach get the people to join him? Mashach Rashi Sanhedro Shabem Bidvarim. Vayikach indicates Vayikach Korach Lakicha is very often Bidvarim with words. He convinced them with words. So we see that he was nicely over on every single category of forbidden speech. So I want to just point out, and there's a running theme, of course, in Bamidbar, which we already says Bamidbar is also Bamidaber. We have Miriam's Lashon Hara and Baaloscha, we have the spies Lashon Hara and Shlach, we have Korach's sins, and he persuaded them with words in Korach. We have Chukas, where the Rambam, Chukas, next week Chukas, where the Rambam, Maimonides, says that Moshe's sin was nothing other than anger when he exclaimed, Shimuna Hamor, Maminasela, Zanotzi, Lachamayim. What was his sin? Dibor. Once again, speech. We're coming up to Bilam, who tried to get us to fall with his speech. So we see it's not for naught that the book of Bamidbar is also alluding to Bamidaber, with the Koach of speech. So this is what I was thinking when I was preparing. It was really like, it struck me like a thunderbolt. And I just thought, Baruch Hu, who could I tell this to? Who could I call and tell? I said, okay, I'll get the Ezra's Hashem, it should be well. I'll say it tomorrow. So we're understanding that two people could see the exact same matzav. Okay, those two people in that example come up to Oma Emes, and it looks on the surface like it's the exact same matzav. One, unfortunately, is Tameh from all of his forbidden speech, and the other one is pure, and he's welcome with the Sefer Panim Yafos. We have two groups of Meragim. We have a group of 10, we have a group of 2. The group of 10 see the bad, and therefore speak the bad. The group of 2 see the good. Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. Im chafetz yishabanu yuchal la'alos of Hashem desires. We can go up to see the good and speak the good. And it's very, very famous. And in the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, I love this. On the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, when it lists the names of those who were chosen, so Moshe davens for Yehoshua, right? We know that. It's very, very famous. Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea bin Nun, Yehoshua. Earlier we are told, 1 second, please. Lamate Ephraim Hoshea bin Nun, that's Pasuk Chas, for the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea bin Nun, but we don't refer to him as Hoshea, we refer to him as Yehoshua. When did he get a name change? Here, right before his mission. So what did Rashi say? Very, very famous. He davened for him, mispalel olav. Rashi uses the word tefillah. Ka yoshi acha me'atzas ha-meragla. May Hashem save you from the advice or the design of or the chabura of the meragla. You should be saved. Okay. So why didn't he daven for Kalev? Kalev ben Yefuna was from the tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of Malchus. So you have these two tribes, Ephraim, Hoshea ben Nun, Yehuda, Kalev ben Yefuna, and Moshe only davened for Hoshea, correct? Now we're talking about Korach HaDibur specifically in regard to the sin of the spies, even though there's many other elements of what happened here. Oh my gosh. So, you've heard me say many times, I think, I don't know if I say it in these classes, but that I try and focus on Shorashim, and what is the word in Lashon HaKodesh trying to tell me? Because usually, if you focus on the Lashon, on the word, or the letters in the word, you find that there's a hidden meaning. And it's really unbelievable. And I remember I should never consider this until I was preparing for this class. So this whole class is worth it, for, even though it should be an Aliyah, but as a Shoshim for Faz and Shama. And it should be Mechazik us in our Shmir Salashim. Okay, Baruch Bokei Chivrim. Kalev, if you change around the Nekudos, in the Sefer Torah there's no Nekudos, is also Kalev. dog. That's very interesting, because how does a dog communicate? He barks. He's always making noise. Bark, 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 bark. This is his only way. He's opening his mouth and emitting sound. That's what we do when we speak Lashon Hara. Here, Kalev and Yoshua were going into a situation where they were going to be with people who were barking, so to speak. What does that mean? Telling their wares to all who would listen. Bark, 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 kol b'nei solo, yachretz kal v'shonet. That's who we daven. The dogs were quiet. Why is that such a nace that the dogs were quiet on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because b'darach klal, the dogs have something to say, and they let you know that there's something to say. Remember, we read about the servant Tevi who went to the marketplace and brought back a tongue. The dog's tongue is always hanging out of his mouth when he pants. He's panting, and he always has something to say. Fascinating that Kalev, who was saved from Atzus Meragim, who Moshe did not daven for, name when you change the Nekudos could be?
Kalev.
Hello? Kalev, dog. So what saved Kalev? If he had the potential to be like a barking dog, to be in the Atzus Meragim, Ben Yifuneh, Yod Fana, he turned to Hashem. Pana means to turn. Yod is Shem Hashem, which was added to Yehoshua. Why didn't Moshe need to daven for Kalev ben Yefuneh? Because Kalev was the son of, he understood, he was the student of the one who knows that when you're in a dangerous matzav and you feel like barking like a dog, just turn to Hashem. Hashleich al Hashem Yehavecha, v'hu yechal kalecha Hashem. I'm having a problem, I'm in a bad situation, I feel I'm going to talk Hashem, or the people around me are convincing me. What should I do? Ben Yefuneh. He understood that salvation from becoming a barking dog lies in casting your burden on God. But Moshe didn't need to daven for him because he already had the yod. He understood, Ben, not literally, even though he was the son of, hashkafically, I am the son of the hashkafa. I am of the mahalach of turning to the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever I need. You're in a dangerous matzav and you feel you're going to talk. What should you do in here right now? Hashem saved me. Derech shadam rotze leich ba molichinoso. And therefore, Kalev was saved. And therefore, Moshe didn't need to daven for him because he understood he had the koach of a kalev. We all have the koach of a kalev. But if you understand the dangers and you become a ben yifuneh, then he already has the yod. And he knew to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Beautiful. And therefore, Yehoshua needed the tefillah and not Kalev. And furthermore, we see by Kalev. 1 second, please.
Somewhere the Mefarshim said that.
Say it again.
And the Mefarshim hinted when it went from plural to singular that he went to Hebron.
That's what I'm looking for right now. I just want to quote the pasuk for you. That's exactly right. I just want to quote for you. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Okay. Vayalu benegev, they come out from the south. Vayavo ad heaven. Vayalu is plural. Vayavo is singular. So what does this chumash mean? They came up. But who went to Hebron? That's exactly what I was looking for. Beautiful thought. He needed an extra dose of enforcement. Why did he go there? He davened al kivrei avos. He davened. He understand. Beautiful. That's exactly what I was looking for. Beautiful. It's Rashi to Perikya Gimafrail. In reference, Pasuk Chav Beis. Kalev understood that when you're in a difficult matzav and you feel like barking like a dog, what should you do? Go turn to Hashem, daven to Hashem. Ka, the yud was already there. Fune, turn to Hashem, and he will save you from becoming like a kalev to becoming a tzaddik olam like kalev. And it's not an accident that he was from the tribe of Yehuda, because Yehuda is malchus, and the melech bisra always has to know to turn your thoughts and your prayers and all of your kochus and your sonos to Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? Just, it's unbelievable. When you focus on the words in Lashon HaKodesh, and what the Torah is really trying to tell me, keeping in mind the Sefer Torah itself, Shivim Panim the Torah, and that there are no nekudos, so Kalev is Kalev. It's very blatantly obvious when you start to think about it. It's unbelievable. Okay, let's go. Page 100. I didn't forget the other Sefer this time, but I do want to start this next chapter. Does anyone have questions or comments? I'm just not one thing. So there are 16 milos, levels, benefits, that come out from the chova, the obligation to guard. Okay, to guard our mess. Aleph. Hine yadua me hasfarim hakadoshim. It is well known from the Holy Sfarim. She'ikr kedushas hamitzvah hi kisha osa bikfius gemura. The ikr, The main part, how is that translated? Mainly, yeah, the main part of the holiness of the mitzvah is when you do it with regularity, complete regularity. When you do a mitzvah with regularity, and it becomes before you tamid, always and consistent, God's before me always and consistently, it draws a certain kedusha on your nefesh. Now, you know what's funny? Everything's so bashar. We just finished Parsha Shlach. And now, you know what he quotes there? The end of Parsha Shlach. Okay? Kamodiktiv, like the Pasuk says, this is from Tzitzis, which is how Parsha Shlach ends. Laman tizku v'asisim v'isim kudushim l'lechem. So that you will remember and you will do it. So I'm just quoting from the end of Parsha Shlach, the parasha of what we call Vayomer, which is the third paragraph of Shema. It's right at the end of Shlach. And the Pasuk says, Daber b'nei Yisroel martam v'suam tzitzis ha'kamfei v'deim words that you know up by heart, v'l'dor sam v'naso tzitzis ha'kanap v'satachayis v'ayachem v'tzitzis re'isem oso uzchartem. That's why the Chavetz Chaim says tizkeru uzchartem has come to us Hashem v'asisem oso. You will remember the mitzvahs of God, you will do them. But I also want to add in the Pasuk right before the Pasuk that the Chavetz Chaim quotes, v'lo sasu achari levav. This is fundamental when it comes to Shmir Salashar. Rashi says there, Haleva ha'einayim he miraglim leguf. The lave, the heart, va'einayim and the eyes are the spies for the body. They procure, mesarsum lo'asavirs, they procure for you the sins. Ayin ro'eh, the eye sees, you brought up the ayin from the ona to the nega. The eye sees, Haleva chomeh, your eye sees something negative. The heart desires to speak about it. And the next thing you know, is out of your mouth. Laman tizku, you have to remember. You have to do all the mitzvahs. That's the Pasuk Chavetz Chaim quotes. Laman tizku, v'asisem es kol mitzvos, v'yisem kedoshim lo'keichem. So in other words, the Chavetz Chaim is saying, based on this Pasuk, when you remember Hashem and the mitzvahs, and you do them with regularity, the end result is you will be holy to Hashem. He brings this Pasuk as proof. Fascinating that the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz. Kodesh Hashem was like a badge of honor. The Sefer HaChanuch says in regard to the mitzvah of tzitzis, you're wearing the uniform of the general. The tzitz, which was part of the big day kahuna gedola, was also like the badge of honor, so to speak, before the Ribbono Shel Olam. What did it say on it? Also, v'isem kadoshim, what did the tzitz say? Kodesh Hashem, or La Hashem Kodesh. And how was it tied back? With tchedas. The tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, tzitzit, tzitz, kedoshim lelokechem, tzitzis, kodesh lashem, or lashem kodesh, pasil techeles, tied back with ches. It's the badge of honor. When you remember and you do all the mitzvahs, you will be holy to Hashem your God. Ve'ein nafka mina ke'osa mitzvah b'fo'al, o shabad dvar ve'liyad v'kovesh esitzu. And you cannot compare. It makes no difference if you do the mitzvah in an action, or if the sin comes to your hand and you're kovesh your yetzer, you conquer your inclination, shalo lavar alah, not to transgress. No simlo gam kein schar. Look at this. If you are kovesh your yetzer, you get reward just as if you did a mitzvah. Unbelievable. So you are rewarded for conquering your evil inclination as if you did a mitzvah of action. It's not like this if you don't keep the mitzvah with regularity. It's not, there's not so much kedusha that emanates from it. That's a little sobering that the Chavetz Chaim is saying that if you do not perform the mitzvah with regularity, then even when you do the mitzvah, there's not so much kedusha in it. You need to make it a habit. You need to make it a pattern, but with intent, a habit with kavana, so that you're a person of mitzvos. What does this have to do with the inyan, with the matter of accepting upon yourself to guard your speech? The im einu makabal atzma chovis hashmir. Because if you don't accept upon yourself to guard yourself, einu matsui kla. What's going to happen? It's not likely that you will continue to observe the sheikhaim called elu and yinyanim lishamer milavar lein bekfias. How is it that if you don't make a concentrated and conscious effort to accept upon yourself chovas hashmira, how will you carefully guard yourself from not transgressing all these things? Kasher nivar lakaima lakama lakamei, that we will explain going forward. Time goes so fast. Okay. Let's go to the other sefer. Okay. Should we do a few more? Where's Alyssa? Who's here?
She's on the phone.
Oh. let's just finish this page, okay? V'teida l'nechon, and you should surely know, shabilti kabal shchovis hashmir, that without accepting upon yourself the obligation to guard yourself, alua me'od l'hikashal behen, it is very likely that you will stumble in sin. It's not possible, if you're not aware of chovis hashmir, not to stumble. Ki alavin va'asin hatliyim b'koach hadibur, because the lo tase and the ase that are dependent on power of speech, einam shavim la'lavin va'asin shabachal Torah, are not like all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Shabaham matzui sheinatzel. Oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. Shabaham matzui, because with the other mitzvahs in the Torah, whether it's a lo tase or an ase, I just wanted to finish the page. Okay? This is what I mentioned before. Shabaham matzui, with the other mitzvahs, it will be found. Sheinatzel shavua, you could be saved for a week from not transgressing. Vechodesh, and a month from not transgressing. V'lifamim gam nashana u'shnasayim. In regard to the other mitzvahs of the Torah, it's very possible that a week or a month, or sometimes even a year or two could go by. You won't transgress. Shalo yavar alein. It's possible that if you take upon yourself the other mitzvahs, you don't transgress them. Masha ein kein elu shetuluyim b'kol chadibur. But it's not like that, you should know, says the Chavetz Chaim, in regard to the power of speech. It's my own sefer, so I underline this. Afilu im hu yirei Elokim. Even if he is God-fearing. I remember that we said, Rishon Shemfal Hirsch says, to be a yirei Shemai means to see, goes back to seeing. Yirei, lirot. When you see Hashem, you can revere Hashem. Yirei Elokim, yirei Shemai means to perceive or to see the Almighty. Therefore, you fear him. Kalz man shei mekaba al naf shachoves hashmir. Even if you are a yirei shamayim, as long as you do not accept upon yourself to guard your tongue, ein matzui afilu shavua achad sheyinatzel midibri masrim. It is impossible that you will go even how long? 1 month without forbidden words. Shalifan mim yotzi mipiv divrei gaiva vavuz. Now that we're going to stop here because we're going to go to the other sefer, less than a day. But this next paragraph is very important. The whole thing is very important. But that's because he's going to illustrate that even if you think you're okay with Lashon Hara, in the narrow way in which we understand Lashon Hara, you didn't talk about any best. Remember last week we spoke about that tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, was a Bnei Brak. There's a sign hanging in the front of his apartment. Here we don't speak about other Jews, even good things. So you might think, oh, I didn't talk any Lashon Hara this week. But what about Divrei Gaiva? What about Vuz? What about Rechilus? What about Sheker? What about Leitzanus? What about Unas? I'm quoting from this paragraph. What about Habanus Panim? What about Divrei Chanufa? It's impossible, he says, that you will go a week without being over, without Chovas HaShmira on any part of sins of Lashon, keeping in mind that it's much more. So even if you think, oh wow, I didn't talk Lashon Hara today. So Chavetz Chaim says, okay, you didn't talk Lashon Hara today, but what about all the other forbidden aspects of speech that you may have spoken? So without Chovas HaShmira, unlike the other mitzvos in the Torah, it is impossible, says the Chavetz Chaim, impossible that you will not be over. The other mitzvos, it's possible. For example, I don't know, I'm not going to take time to think of examples now, but it's possible you don't transgress for a week, for a month, for a year, if you learn the halacha, and you don't have a Yetzer Hara for the other sins the same way that we have for the speech. Why not? Because the Nachash represents the Yetzer Hara. And what was the first sin in the world? Lashon Hara. The Nachash spoke Lashon Hara, Kaviyachal, about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Chava accepted Lashon Hara, Isha accepted Lashon Hara. So that is why we have a Yetzer Hara much stronger for Lashon Hara, including all the other categories, than any other sin. But it's the first sin built into the fabric of creation, brought down during Maisa Bereshis by the Nachash, immediately after Maisa Bereshis by the Nachash was Lashon Hara. And after Isha ingested the forbidden fruit, the Nachash moved in. And therefore, he is such a strong koach within us. Okay, let's go on. Okay. Overhearing a threat. Okay, an obvious case when conveying negative information is required where a person is overheard. When a person is overheard, is when a person overheard someone plotting to harm someone. So, what comes to mind immediately? Mordechai, Amigdalus Esther. When there's a plot and someone overhears someone plotting, that's what comes to my mind, okay? That's what comes to my mind. Even though we're not talking about Jews there, Nachashreish wasn't Jewish, and I don't think Big Son and Sarah were Jews, but that's what comes to my mind. While we have seen when a Jew may be in danger, even secondhand information can be related, it is imperative that when first determined, the plot is apparently serious and not a bad joke. So that's very hard to know, and if there's any doubt in your situation, Chalila Pekuach Nefesh, whether it's any kind of harm that will come to somebody else, clearly seek the advice advice of your Rav, but do not take that lightly. Right? The condition that one, Gedaliah ben Achikam didn't believe that there was a plot against him. He didn't want to be Mekabel Ashenar. So now we fast on some Gedaliah, because you remember that was the end of the Churban. That was the end of any sort of Jewish leadership and autonomy. The condition that one first reprove the person against whom he intends to speak applies only if one believes he could change the alleged plotter's attitude. So if you don't think that you... Remember we said it's one thing to speak... It's forbidden to speak about a person. It's positive to speak to a person. Perhaps had Miriam gone to Moshe and said, listen, I don't understand what you're doing. I have some questions. Instead of speaking to Aaron, it would have been more effective. However, if you want to speak or reprove the person who is plotting, only if you believe that you can change the person's mind. Otherwise, warning him would only induce him to... This sounds to modify the plot and sure not being covered. I don't know. For me, maybe... I don't know if I'm naive. I am a little naive, but also this seems a little far-fetched, no? To me, do we have such things? Maybe we do have such things in our society. I don't know. And I just don't know. I'm just not aware.
You're lucky.
Okay. The remaining conditions are required here no less than in the ordinary case of constructive speech. One's intent must be solely to avert harm. If an alternative exists, then that avenue must be pursued. Also, one must be reasonably sure the plotter will not be caused undue harm. If the potential victim is known to be hot-tempered and can be expected to take revenge, he cannot be spoken to. So, I don't know, this sounds like a very difficult situation. You have to seek professional help. Alternative means would have to be found to protect the victim without endangering the plotter. Okay. Consumer protection. Interesting. Consumer protection is an important but sensitive area, which allows for information to be conveyed l'to'eles, for constructive purpose. If a storekeeper hands a customer too little change, okay? Ladies, listen, let's finish this up. If a storekeeper hands a customer too little change, that could definitely happen, or charges him for something he did not purchase, that for sure could happen. You have to watch registers very carefully. One must not assume the storekeeper is dishonest. We all make mistakes. That's true. However, if it happens often in a certain store, bring the matter to the storekeeper's attention. Inform him if the practice continues. I have no choice but to inform the clientele. If the situation does not change, listen to this, you're required to warn people. Interesting, it's count their change, examine the receipts for any mistakes. However, it is still forbidden. So in other words, this is very relevant. I think it's more relevant than, even if there is, Rahman al-Azan, those who plot against others to harm them, that's a less relevant situation. This is a more relevant situation because we do shop in stores where sometimes the question comes up all the time, can I warn somebody else not to go there because of an experience I had? So on the one hand, it's motzi shema and it's lashon hara, but on the other hand, what about protecting the consumer? So that's exactly what we're speaking about here. So if you notice a certain pattern in a certain store and you've spoken to the storekeeper or the cashier, okay, and nothing is changing, you can warn people, but it has to be specific warning. You know, count your change, examine your receipt. It's forbidden to insinuate, still, the man is dishonest, even if you suspect he is so, because it's sufficient for people to think he's careless, to take necessary precautions. So in other words, you're only allowed to say what actually happened. You can't say, I wouldn't shop there because that man is a thief. That's Lashon Hara, Motzi Shema. You can say, I've had numerous situations there where this and this happened, being very specific. However, it would be forbidden to inform hot-headed individuals who might vandalize the store in the name of justice, or you could say, who would slander that person across town in the name of justice, and then word would get out. So I think that this is very interesting, because this is something that's very shayach, and it's something that you hear all the time. Like, am I allowed to tell somebody else about the experience I had in that store if it was negative? So if it happens repeatedly, and you've spoken, it seems that you are allowed to tell, but you can only say specifically what happened, not embellish or more than that. Okay. So Be'ezras Hashem, when we feel like being a kelev, who barks our wares and our words before everybody, we must remember Ben Yifuneh. We must be the one who is the hashkafa of turn to Hashem, go to Chevron, daven over the Kivrei Avos, and then Be'ezras Hashem, Hashem will help us. Halavai. Thank you, ladies. Any questions or further comments?
No, it's not.